Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
We're everywhere. Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like, real easy. In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Pro on a bench on a pain-free Friday from New York City. Nebraska now leading Illinois 61-56 with 3:50 left. They got them by the onions in Lincoln right now. Illinois in big trouble, of course. They're ranked sixth in the country right now. Now, as far as other games, like a lot of the Friday night, you just don't like the action, but I had a lot of games I bet on. Arkansas State 73-62 over Little Rock. North Texas beat Southern Miss easily, 65-49. Western Kentucky by 6 over Rice. Rice was getting 11.5. I had the double cover there. Western Kentucky to win, Rice to cover the spread. Buffalo humiliated Western Michigan, 86-54. Louisiana Tech came back to beat UAB by 12. Riverside was getting 1 from Irvine. They beat them 86-65. Mafia and I have hung out at that Irvine campus before. It was funny. When we were there, Mafia goes, we're driving around in the car. He goes, man, these are some really expensive houses around here. And then I said, this is some really good weed around here.
The anteaters, right?
Yeah, the anteaters. They eat ants. The ants are eating. They're eating something, I'll tell you that much. Bakersfield. 76-71 over UC San Diego. Akron beat Miami of Ohio, 83-76. Texas San Antonio by 4 over FAU. Texas San Antonio, I had that game. Oh, I hit that. Oh, look, I had 4.5 with FAU with the hook cover. Yeah. Wright State a winner, 92-81 over Milwaukee. UCF, 53-49 over Tulane. I had Tulane at 5.5 with the cover. Green Bay in overtime over Northern Kentucky. I got burned on this one. 86-82. Green Bay wins it. Youngstown State I had rolling. -5. They win by 14 over Purdue Fort Wayne. I always throw in a couple small schools in there, Mafia. Now, just for your edification, tomorrow, and all these picks are up on PharrellOnTheBench.com. They will be for Saturday's games. But just so you know, there's some huge games tomorrow. Indiana and Ohio State at noon on ESPN. Ohio State laying 6.5. Florida State at noon taking on Wake and Tallahassee. Florida State laying 13. Kentucky hosting Auburn at Rupp at 1 o'clock on CBS. Kentucky's favored by 1.5, even though they're 5-13. And then Oregon, Arizona, good Pac-12 game. Arizona laying 2 at 2 o'clock on the Deuce. Georgia and Bama, 3:30. Bama laying 13 and a hook. Duke and NC State in Raleigh. How about this one? Duke's favored by 3. Meanwhile, all they do is lose. Villanova and Creighton at Creighton on Fox at 5. Villanova's 13-2. Creighton's 15-5. Villanova laying 2 and a hook. That's going to be a really good game at Creighton. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 204, our new partners. And then, of course, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, L.A., all of Southern California. Near Tijuana, do Tijuana. Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline, USA and Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Good to have you with us on a bench on a pain-free Friday. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. 844-843-6879. If you got the stones to call in. North Carolina and Virginia at Charlottesville. Virginia laying 6.5. Northern Iowa hosting Valpo. Did you see, Mavi, I know we talked about it on Coast to Coast, that Valparaiso, they changed their nickname. They haven't announced what the new nickname is going to be. The new president or something like that is going to figure it out. But they've gotten rid of the nickname, the Crusaders, and they no longer will use it. My entire life, they were the Valparaiso Crusaders. Now, here's the funny story. So when I was a little kid or whatever, I lived in Valparaiso. And I went to – my dad worked at U.S. Steel, so he worked at Gary Works, where Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 were from Gary, Indiana. That's where the biggest steel mill in the United States is. And that's where it was forever, Gary Works, the U.S. Steel plant there outside of Chicago. So I grew up there as a kid. That's how I had connections to Notre Dame football, which is 45 minutes away in South Bend and Northwest Indiana. And so the funny thing about the Valpo Crusaders was, like, later in life, my dad would get, I don't know, transferred back there or something. He was living in Pittsburgh. I lived in Pittsburgh most of my life. And then he ended up back there. I don't even remember. I was so high. I don't even remember. But he ended up living back in Valparaiso later in life or something. And I went to, I played tennis for a couple of years in college, and then I went back to Valpo to stay with him for a while. And I ended up, my buddy owned this really cool pizza place in Valpo, and I knew the guy, and I was friends with him. So I would, like, deliver pizzas for him and, you know, get through college or whatever. And I would go to this campus at Valparaiso, the Crusaders, and I would deliver pizzas to chicks, and I would sleep with all of them. It was awesome.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So anyway, I would deliver these pizzas down to the campus at Valpo, and I would, you know, there'd be sorority parties, fraternity parties, off-campus apartments. I mean, they got like, I don't know, several thousand kids that go there. It's not a big school, but they got a few thousand. So like it's not a big school. But they got, you know, off-campus apartments, they got fraternities, sororities, they got all that going. They got dorms, so I was always delivering to these, places and parties. Just every apartment I went to, there was a party. Every fraternity I went to, they had a 10-kegger going. And, I mean, it was just free. Everything was free. Beer, weed, chicks.
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
That was footage of me at a hazing event at one of the Kappa Alpha parties. I actually ended up, like, it was bad. I was trolling chicks left and right. I had it all going. I would go down there to
Vaso.
I would go down and deliver a pizza, and I would never show back up at the pizza place. The guy'd be like, "Where were you?" I was like, "I passed out. I was with this chick." It was awful.
Game recognized game.
I was so crazy, and, you know, when I was in college or whatever, I was just so crazy. I don't even remember if it was I can't even remember how it happened that I ended up there because it's been so long, like 40, 50 years. I can't even keep track of it. But I know that I went back and forth as a kid I moved to Pittsburgh when I was little. And then at some point or another, I was back there, like, before I went to college or something. I think I was in high school or something at the time. I don't even remember, but I was delivering pizzas, and I was just scoring college girls. Show up with the pizza. They love you when you show up with food. They love you when you're at the door with pizza. Like, have you ever seen the commercial where the guy at Domino's, she's like, "It's you." And he goes, "It's me." That's the guy, because you're the guy with the pizza. And you just score chicks left and right. And guys know that deliver pizzas. They all know I'm telling the truth. Like, they've scored whatever. They score blow, weed, you know, everything. Vacations, cars. Yeah. I mean, honestly, some of them are thieves. They're stealing stuff. I mean, there's so much action when you deliver for a living. Like, at the time, I would have done anything to make money, man. I remember when I lived in Sarasota, and I was doing A-ball. I was delivering Hungry Howie's. I was delivering pizzas down there, too. Bartending, delivering pizzas, doing A-ball play-by-play, trolling chicks. I had it all going. Good tan, living on the water, living on the beach down in Siesta Key. I had it all. I was Siesta Key long before that stupid show Siesta Key came on. Incidentally, I don't know what that's on. Is that on MTV? Can you believe that I worked at MTV in the 90s? Because I still can't believe I worked at MTV for all those years, for like 5 years. I did a TRL. I did the sports, Rock and Jock. I did all this stuff. And I swear to God, I've never watched MTV once ever in my life since I left there. Like, I remember I did it for like 4 or 5 years, and then they fired me. Like they do everyone. The minute you start getting old, they fire you. And so what happens is I've never watched it again, ever. I didn't even know that channel still existed. I don't even know what they do on there now. I have no idea, but I think somebody told me. What?
It's all like reality shows. There is no more music on MTV. I don't know why it's even called MTV anymore.
Is that where that Siesta Key show is?
Some probably. I think that is like the Florida.
Oh, God. They actually still do that stupid Jersey Shore show. Oh, my God. Those people are so painful. Oh,
yep,
my
they keep
God. They're just so stupid and painful. Like, who cares about their life?
So is 95% of people on reality TV, yet everyone, for some reason, watches it. I can't stand it. My wife watches some
watch
of those shows,
it.
like the Beyond the Below Deck and stuff, but I can't stand that stuff.
I've watched Below Deck before, but I think that if I was on, because you know I did that, right? I cruised in the South Pacific.
Right, you went sailing
on a yacht. I sailed on a yacht, so I've done it, and all I did was have sex and smoke weed and swim naked. I mean, I honestly partied like you have no idea how much rum I drank. Because at the time I was young, crazy, and I drank like a fish and I partied like a rock star. And I was on this yacht with this hot chick. And there were like four couples on it. And there was like, you know, four dudes, four chicks. I thought we were gonna kill each other at one point because I wasn't taking any crap from anybody. I didn't even know these other people, and I was like, "Listen, I don't like you, dude. I would not get near me at all if you know what's good for you, because I will set you on fire. I will hit you with a bottle and set you on fire with whiskey. I will throw you overboard and kill you.
Get a hold of yourself.
And then I'm going to sleep with your girlfriend. With my girlfriend. And if I really get crazy, I'm going to kill the other two dudes and sleep with their girlfriends too.
So you when say I saw filthy things without realizing it. I like you.
Thank you. I like you too. Now I shove you overboard. Anyway, you're out in the middle of the ocean. Anything's possible. I will say this, that because I lived on a yacht, then I was able to see that show and understand it better. And what I've understood to be true with living on a yacht is that there's smoking hot ass on the yacht, and there is nothing better than smoking hot ass and just smoke show hottie chicks on yachts. I don't know what it is, but they all end up on these yachts. And your wife watches it, Mafia, because she knows that everybody on those yachts is having just massive amounts of sex. There's nowhere to go. All you can do is jump in the water, get back on a boat, or drown. So you jump in, you jump back on the boat, and then you go and grab your drink, and you drink more and sit in the hot tub, and then you have sex. That's all you do. And there's nowhere to go. When you're in the middle of the ocean, there's nowhere to go, so there's only one thing to do, and that's get naked. It really is the reality of it all. I will say, though, sleeping was a problem in the cabins because it's really small, no matter how big the boat is. I was on like an 80-foot yacht. It was still tremendously small, the cabins, and the mosquitoes were the size of 747s, and they would land on you when you were sleeping, and you couldn't feel them, and then the only time you felt it was when they stung you and drained your body of all the blood. So I was getting sucked on like Dracula by mosquitoes, and I would wake up every day with like 50 mosquito bites, and I wanted to kill myself. Yeah, I miss sailing with hot chicks with no clothes on. Oh, God. Oh, Leo. Now I won't even get on a boat. Remember I went on the, what was it, Norwegian?
Yeah, you went on a cruise out of New York in like February.
I went on a February cruise and there were 50-foot swells. We were trapped at sea in a winter storm. The boat tipped over. We all died. Came back to life. It was like the Titanic. It was awful. Furniture sliding on the boat. You couldn't go out on the deck. Everything was closed. It poured down rain and had 50-foot swells for the entire week. It was the worst. I said I'd never get on a boat again as long as I live. I'm done with that. But I would go on one of those Greek Mediterranean yacht cruises. On a private yacht, I would do that, and if the captain or the head chef was a smoking hottie, I'd sleep with them too.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art of sports talk.
This
is the Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday. We bring in the great writer from the Houston Chronicle, one of our favorites on the bench all these years, John McClain. He's been very busy lately. How you doing, John?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
I'm well, buddy. It's great to have you back on the show. Boy, have you been busy. I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by your stories and this endless, the gift that keeps on giving, the Houston Texans drama. I don't even know, frankly, where to begin, but I do want to start with I'm going to go with this angle. Before we get into J.J. Watt, before we get into Deshaun Watson and the importance of those two players and everything that's going on with the team, the front office mess is what I want to know about. Like, I want to know the fascination with Easterby, and I want to know what happened with this, you know, how Caserio got the gig, Roots is gone, and just all the chaos that's happened. And frankly, it seems like backstabbing in that organization, in that front office, and even going back to Bill O'Brien. It's just been nothing but, frankly, it would seem to me, a mess and backstabbing.
Scott, I'm going to lay it out for you. Texans won 4 division titles in 5 years, 2 playoff games. 2019, they won the AFC South 10-6, beat Buffalo in the wild card round, then choked a 24-point lead at Kansas City. Since that point, everything has been down the toilet. Bill O'Brien fired 4 games into the season. That was a very popular move by Cal McNair, the owner. And everybody wanted Jack Easterby fired as well because O'Brien and Easterby had worked hand-in-hand on all decisions, according to O'Brien. O'Brien had in his contract as the coach and general manager, he had final say on all decisions, and he did. So bad trades like DeAndre Hopkins or it worked out the first year with Laramie Tunsil, but it sure didn't this year. Now they would add the 3rd pick in the draft, and that belongs to Miami to complete the trade, and a second-round pick as well to complete the trade for Laramie Tunsil and Kenny Stills. Right. So after O'Brien was fired, Jack Easterby, who had been promoted last year to executive vice president of football operations, took over as interim general manager. And even though they lost a lot of close games. They lost to 5 teams that finished in first place. Their teams that beat them were 57 games over 500. They were 2-8 in one-score games after being 8-3 year before. So everything that could go bad went bad. 31st in rushing, 2nd worst running team in franchise history in 2002, the inaugural season. Worst run defense in franchise history by far. They finished worst in the league. So the defense was terrible. They had no running game. But Deshaun Watson played great. Despite the Hopkins trade, despite losing Will Fuller for 5 games, Randall Cobb as slot receiver for 6, no matter who they put out there, Watson made him look good, and he spread the ball all over the field. So he improved in every stat, but the record was 4-12. So nobody knew Watson was unhappy enough to ask for a trade, because when we talked to him right after the last game of season, he said there's people here think they have too much power, and they don't. And he didn't mention Jack Easterby, but we knew that's who he was talking about. And then when they hired Nick Caserio, that's when sources close to Watson leaked to the national media and he was unhappy about it. They read it on social media and he wanted out. Well, obviously, a player wanting out runs much deeper than learning about a GM of social media. They had pursued Nick Caserio twice, going back to 2017 when Rick Smith resigned and they tried to talk to Caserio. Patriots wouldn't let him. Then they did again after they fired general manager Brian Gain. Patriots said no, filed tampering charges because they thought Jack Easterby, who had come from the Patriots, where he'd been for 6 years, tampered with Caserio. And this year, the 3rd time down there tried to get him, Patriots couldn't do anything about it because of a new change in the rules. And Scott, there's no personnel guy out there more deserving of a GM job than Caserio. 20 years with the Patriots, 6 Super Bowl rings, last 13 right. years, Bill Belichick's right hand man. So the hiring of Nick Caserio, I thought, was really good. But people here didn't like it because he came from the Patriots, where O'Brien and Easterby came from. People were tired of them going to the Patriots well, even though people had to admit that Caserio had a chance to be a really good GM. Now, maybe he won't be, but he has a chance to be based on what people who have worked with him and covered him have said. So they hire Caserio. He comes in. He has his list of coaches. He interviews 5 on his list. He interviews 2 more. He has 7 he's interviewed. Search committee interviewed 2. So there were 9 candidates. Came down to the final 2. Leslie Frazier, Buffalo. David Culley from the Ravens. Cully was a shocking hire because he'd been in the league 27 years. He worked for a lot of good teams and a lot of good coaches, but he'd never been a coordinator. But that was Nick Caserio's hire. And that's something that people are going to remember him for a long time. Either it was a very shrewd move or it turned out to be a bad move. We're not going to know that for a while, Scott, because the team is so bad, destined to be worse if Watson sits out or if they ultimately decide to trade him. The way it's set up now, Caserio has control of everything in the personnel department, final say on everything.
Right.
Easterby is the executive VP of football ops, as all football ops guys are, involved in everything on the football side of the operation. Those two work closely together. They're good friends from the Patriots. And Easterby pushed hard with owner Cal McNair to hire Caserio. But considering they were pursuing Caserio way before Easterby got here, you can't say it was all him because they had tried once before. So now it's to a point where no matter anything that bad happens here, Jack Easterby is going to get a blame because people think he has way too much control. People write and broadcast here every day that he should be fired. But the owner, Cal McNair, and the McNair family, they believe in him. They think he knows what he's doing, and he's not going anywhere.
Well, what about, that's the most fascinating story I think I've ever listened to about a football team. Now, what about, and I mean that, what about why is Deshaun Watson so miserable with these people? Because he didn't get a sit in on a Zoom meeting, or because he didn't get his guy Bieniemy, or because he didn't like the fact that they brought in Caserio? Why has he turned into miserable? I mean, he's just he's absolutely unhappy and wants nothing to do with it. Now, respectfully, John, I got 2.5 minutes. Can you hang on after this break, or do you got to run?
No, I can hang on, Scott. It's no problem.
All right, great. All right, so for 2 minutes right now, tell me what happened to this kid, because he's such a great player. Why is he so mad?
He's never said a word. Nobody's ever said a word on the record. All people know is what's been leaked to national media close to Watson. He never met Eric Bieniemy. He met that when we talked to him at the end of the season. He also liked Robert Saleh. He didn't know Robert Saleh, but those are coaches he had heard good things about. And I have no idea about any other coaches that he told Cal McNair that he liked for them to interview, and he wanted to be kept up with the process. Well, by the time Caserio got here and started his interviews, Watson wasn't getting back with him. He's not returned Caserio's messages or calls or David Culley's, and maybe he never will, but nobody knows for sure, and until he tells us what it is, we're not going to know. It's all just speculation. He doesn't like Jack Easterby having so much power. He doesn't like that he had to find out about Caserio on social media, probably like J.J. Watt. He knows the team's going to be terrible, and he'd like to play for a Super Bowl contender. And the thing about Caserio, he's got 6 Super Bowl rings, so he knows what it takes, but he hadn't been able to communicate that to Watson so far.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, we'll talk about J.J. when we come back and a little bit more about Watson. But the funny thing is now, since he's done that, And took this stand, if you will. You know, I mean, basically that's what he's done. He's like, I'm not going. You know, people are like saying he's not going back there. He's not going to play for the Texans. Meanwhile, the Texans are saying we're not trading him, come hell or high water. We're not trading him. And what is strange to me is that it seems to have sprouted behavior from other quarterbacks like Russell Wilson. Now all of a sudden he's miserable and saying, I'm not happy with my protection. I spoke with Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Trib, and he covers Seahawks. I know you know him. He's a guy writing about this. Now this Russell Wilson guy's miserable. I think it's crazy that this guy, and I understand their feeling, the Texans, and we're going to come back, and I want to get your side of this. I just want to say, because I got about 15 seconds, I just can't believe how great of a player he is, how miserable he is, and I think it all started, you told the whole story of O'Brien up until this point. I just don't get it, I really don't get it, because he's a superstar. We'll come back and get John's opinion of what's going to happen on the bench.
as you can remember.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're talking to the legendary writer, an award-winning writer from the Houston Chronicle, John McClain. We get him on as often as we can on the bench. He's the best, and he covers everything in Houston, and he writes about the Texans all the time. So your opinion of what I was saying, that I can't believe, like, he started this, like, you know, and it wasn't, I never heard him say I'm miserable and I went out. I just heard agents and stories and media. And then you started writing about him, I know. And you started writing about the mess in that front office. But it sounds like to me, like I respect what Caserio did in Boston in those six rings and the fact that he's there. And obviously the owner likes the setup that they have now. But the player's miserable. How much can he do damage? Do you think he's going to not show up at OTAs, not show up at training camp, hold out the whole year? Like Le'Veon Bell did. When I suggested that, John, everybody said I was crazy because of the NFL fines now that are automatic for even him for missing OTAs, training camp, and games. Week to week to week, you're talking about roll over millions of dollars he'd be fined.
And he wouldn't get paid during regular season. His contract would toll for next year. This is the last year of his original contract, $10.3 million. Next year he would get $35 million. So I'm sure he would come in with four games left to get credit for the season. I don't see him doing like James Harden did when he came in late, showed up out of shape, didn't play hard, ripped the team, and then got traded to Brooklyn. That's not Watson's style. What I think should happen, Scott, is at some point, Watson and his agent, David Mulligetta, should come to Houston. Mulligetta should come to Houston. They should meet with Nick Caserio and coach David Culley and maybe offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, who Watson loves and has told us that million times, and sit across from a table, 6 feet apart, of course, and have them talk about, okay, exactly why do you want to be gone so bad? And let hear it from him. And then have Caserio and Culley lay out their plan for turning this franchise around. And let Watson know everything they have planned. And I believe that let the two sides go back to their corners. And if Watson is still insisting on being out, I wouldn't want him to have to stay out and be fined millions and millions of dollars and have to come back and play and be miserable where everybody would know he was miserable, and it would be a constant controversy among the fans, the media, you know, the ticket buyers. I wouldn't want a player under that situation, but they would like to talk to him and have been unable to do that so far. They do not want to trade him. They love Deshaun Watson. Everybody loves Deshaun Watson. Houston hadn't had a quarterback like Watson since Warren Moon was traded by the Oilers to Minnesota after the 1993 season. So they don't want to give him away. But if they don't trade him by this draft, they will not get as much. Say if they waited until next year, you don't even know who's going to have a high pick. You don't know what the quarterback class is going to look like. And if I've always said, Scott, that if they do decide to trade him, you start negotiations with the Jets because that's the only way you can be guaranteed of getting the second-best quarterback prospect. And he has a no-trade clause, so he can block it. So it's like you call Urban Meyer and you said, Urban, would you like to have Deshaun Watson for that first pick? We'll take Trevor Lawrence, and you can have a proven quarterback under contract through 2025, and you got plenty of cap money, and you might not coach long anyway because you've retired twice because of health reasons. But I think that it's gonna drag out for a long time, Scott. And if he's not traded, then I think we'll see him sit out the offseason, preseason, training camp. I think that'll cost him $3.6 million. And then, of course, $50,000 a day when the regular season starts.
So what about John McClain with us? from the Houston Chronicle. So I knew you had wrote about the Jets, that they would be a call that they should make based on that number two and possibly doing that. And then what you just said about the Jaguars makes tons of sense as well. But what I want to know is why won't this guy get on the phone with them? Where is he? In hiding? Is he? I mean, where is he? Is he?
No, he's not in hiding. He makes a lot of appearances. He does charity stuff, but he just won't return their calls. And I'm sure
that
when he told his agent, that David Mulligetta, that he wants out, they have an exit strategy. And usually these problems, as you know, are involving money. This is not having to do anything with money. And agents will tell quarterbacks, or any player, don't talk to your teammates. Don't talk to the media. A lot of guys holding out leave the city. They don't want to be there while all this is going on and be talking about it constantly. So I don't know how anything has a chance of getting resolved unless they have one-on-one communication. And so far,
right. They
have not done that.
Now, tell me, John, what happened with J.J. Watt and – I mean, this guy, by the end of the day, every team in the league wanted him.
Well, we've been saying Watt was gone since before the season ended. It was either going to be a trade or a release. They could have traded him and got maybe a fourth-round pick, but then he wouldn't have been able to pick his spot. He handled it pure class, like everything Watt does. He went to the McNair's house. He met with him. He laid it out exactly why he would like to be released. He would like to be able to pick a team because he wants to play for a Super Bowl contender. He doesn't have many years left. He turns 32 in March, and he played every game this season, and he played one of two linemen to play over at least 1,000 snaps. So, and he played really well, second in the league in tackles for loss against the run. He had a career-low 5 sacks, but that's because he had nobody to help him on the pass rush, and he always got double-teamed. But Watt's going to have a lot of options. The Texans did right by Watt, and he is so happy. You know, he feels like he's gotten out of jail, and now he's going to Hawaii. And so I wrote a column for the Morrow Scott, and the first one that pops everybody's minds, Pittsburgh is really tight with his brothers. But the Steelers don't need the position. They got a serious cap problem, and they got a good defense. And people say, well, what about the Packers? He's from Wisconsin. Yes, he is. But the one that I favor is Tennessee, Mike Vrabel. Right. He and Mike Vrabel had a great relationship when Mike was here. The Titans need defense. They need pass rusher. They had only 19 sacks, even though they were 11-5 and the AFC South champion. They need J.J. Watt worse than any team. And I don't see him going where he can get the most money, Scott. He's made over $100 million. I don't think that's as important as it is trying to go to a team that is a playoff team and has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you what, if the Bucs lose Shaq Barrett, who said this week he wants to break the bank, Watt could slide in there and hang out with Tom Brady. They could go out on Brady's boat together and drink avocado tequila together. And who's to say Brady couldn't win another championship?
Listen to him. Listen to John McClain. He knows everything. What about Fuller? What's going to happen to him? Is he out of there too?
No, they're going to re-sign Will Fuller, franchise him. Last year he was great till he got his PED suspension. That cost him several million dollars. And any new contract he signs is going to have some coverage for that, like an insurance policy, where if he were to get popped again, the team would be able to get back money, pay him a lot of money based on per game roster bonuses. That's the first time he's been healthy. And I'm telling you what, he was great. He and Watson always had a really good relationship. Watson said after the season he wanted him re-signed. They've done everything Watson wanted them to do based on what he told us in his last Zoom, except give him a heads up on the GM hire. And the owner, Cal McNair, apologized through a text or telling him apologizing for the miscommunication on Caserio. But every time we talked to Watson, it was all about the head coach. It was never about the GM. And even Watson, because he wants to go to the Super Bowl, nobody could complain about Caserio being the new general manager here, because he's had multiple opportunities through the years, and now he's in charge here. And I'm intrigued to see what he's going to do. Problem is, by the time he gets it done, I may be on the other side of the grass.
Listen. Johnny McClain, I love. Hey, so let me ask you lastly. That was fantastic. That made my day, what you just said. On the other side of the grass. All right, so when Harden left and came here to Brooklyn, and he's playing now with this team, and they don't play any defense whatsoever. He was there all those years, and they never got it done. What can I expect to happen to my Nets here in New York? Because I watched the Knicks and the Nets, and I've watched Harden lose in the playoffs every year, and I've watched him on TNT a few times. But you tell me, what's going to happen to my teams here, like the Nets, with him around? Like, are they all going to get like the Hanta? Are they all going to get losing? Are they all going to learn how to lose in the game sixes and sevens? Are they all going to, what's going to happen to us? I got 2 minutes.
Harden's a great player. Everything he wanted, they did. Get Chris Paul, get rid of him. Get Dwight Howard, get rid of him. They did. Get Russell Westbrook, get rid of him. And then he turned down a 2-year, $100 million extension. A $50 million a year, he turned it down because he wanted to be traded. He wanted to be traded to the Nets. So he used the scorched earth policy to get out of here, and it was ugly, Scott. Fans and media just eviscerated him. I can't wait till the Nets come here and they can sell out the building. They'll be scalping bright tickets like it's the Super Bowl. But if Harden's MO stands up, he'll be great in the regular season. He'll be great some of the times in the playoffs. And I'll tell you this about a former Rocket when he left. He said Harden should take out a full-page ad in our alternative paper here weekly and thank all the dancers in town.
Listen to him. You are a rock star, John McClain. I mean, that was mafia. If we had Ferrelli Awards, he just won another one, like his Hall of Fame Awards. He's got all the awards, your boy McClain. John, that's fantastic. You made my weekend. You made my day. I love you. We'll get you on soon. I always love talking to you. You're the best. Thanks so much.
Hey, Scott, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, and stay safe.
I love that guy. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Did you hear him, Mafia? That was great. I mean,
that was awesome. I love that one. That was a line of the night so far.
He had two of them. I'm on the other side of the grass. And then he should thank all the dancers. That is great. Well, there's no shortage of those here in New York City either, just so you know. I mean, honestly. Mafia, do you remember the last time I went to a strip club? I went to Scores, and I showed up at my house at 7 in the morning, and I tried to tiptoe to bed, and when I laid down, 34C broke my nose with a backhand rammer, a Ramstein on my nose.
Seconds. Yeah, your nose is still crooked.
It is. It's still crooked. But I will say this. She's good in bed. God bless her. I got her back on my side. I listen to punk rock music. I just wanted to say that. Mafia does too. We're both very dangerous human beings. Chris Doyle did not last one day as the new strength coach of the Jaguars after Urban Meyer said, I've known him for 20 years. He's a great guy. Trust me when I tell you. You know, except for all that racism and bullying and abusing athletes at Iowa that got him fired. Except for all that, you know, like the racial stuff. I went on record today on Coast to Coast. I said to Adam Kaplan, every black guy on that team's going to want to beat his ass. And he said, that's a little strong. And I said, all right, whatever you say. And he was gone by the end of the night. So, and I'm not even trying to be right. I love Adam. But you remember when I said it, Mafia? I said, that guy, they're going to beat his ass.
Right. I mean, there'll probably be plenty of them that refuse to even work with the guy. There's probably plenty of them that said, I'm not working out with him. I'm not listening to him. Give me someone else.
That sounds like Mafia when we went to Sports Grid. Mafia said that about me. I'm not working with him. I'm not listening to him.
Give me someone else.
Give me somebody else to work with. I can't deal with it. All right, Mafia. One other thing. The Lakers have taken the lead on the Grizzlies. They have no chance to cover the 7. They were down by 22, 24, and they still are going to kick their ass. Don't forget tomorrow.
Best
in-game
betting opportunity ever is the Lakers. Always getting down early in the first quarter and then blowing people out in the second half.
Loyola, Chicago, and Drake tomorrow. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, UConn, Xavier, Oklahoma, West Virginia. I'm just trying to look for some games. Butler, Georgetown, Tennessee, LSU, TCU, Texas, BC, Syracuse, all that's happening. Let's see if I see any other ones. Iowa, Michigan State, that's going to be good. Fresno Air Force, tons of games all night. I mean, Arkansas, Missouri, I mean, it never ends. Northwestern and Rutgers, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Tons of hockey, UFC 258. Get Mafia's picks at PharrellOnTheBench.com plus NBA. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll see you Monday at 4 on Coast to Coast. Check out.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.